This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Wood, your host, and we're happy to have you with us today on Peace Talk. Many people recognize the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and typically what will come to their mind is, oh, he's the pastor, right, that was killed by the Nazis right at the end of World War II. And it seems like when we say that, I know in my own mind, we think the sad part about that is he died so close to the end of the war. No, the sad part is that he died at all. But certainly when he was hanged just before the end of the war, when the light was, you know, the light was really at the end of the tunnel, if he'd have made it 3 more weeks, I think was the time you'd say his life might have been spared. But that's not what God chose. But we know him as the martyr, but Dietrich Bonhoeffer was much more. And many people are discovering Bonhoeffer in this day and time. And that's why we want to talk to Dr. Stephen Nichols today. He's a research professor of Christian history at Lancaster Bible College and the author of a brand new book called Bonhoeffer on the Christian Life. Dr. Nichols, glad to have you with us today on Peace Talk.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Now, I want to ask you a question here, and I suspect because Bonhoeffer, to me, is such a captivating individual, that even though your title is research professor and you probably study lots of things, have you developed a soft spot in your heart for Dietrich Bonhoeffer?
Yeah, thanks for starting here. You know, I was interested in Bonhoeffer just because I taught him in my church history classes, and the more I looked into Bonhoeffer, the more I just was drawn in. And I spent quite a bit of time writing this book, just reading everything I could read of Bonhoeffer and by Bonhoeffer. And the more I got into it, the more compelling I found him to be. And I think he's just so helpful, such a helpful guide for understanding what the nature of the church is, what discipleship's all about in his moment in the 20th century, but now in our moment in the 21st century.
Well, you're actually finding, aren't you, that there's been a bit of a revival in interest in Dr. Bonhoeffer.
Yes, there has. You know, a lot of that is, well, you can sort of trace it to a couple of things. One is there's this renewed interest today, a big discussion about community and the life of the church. And when you look at the folks who are writing on community, they're many of them quote from Life Together, a short, slim little book of Bonhoeffer's from the 1930s. But that book is very much at the fountain of some of this contemporary discussion of community. So that's one way. And then, of course, the other way is Eric Metaxas, who wrote this fine biography of Bonhoeffer that has attracted significant attention and has introduced this whole new generation to the life and legacy of Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
It's very interesting. I say Bonhoeffer, you say Bonhoeffer.
Yes. The Germans would actually say Bonhoeffer, but you know, that just doesn't sound. It just sounds odd. So I tell my students, you just call him DB. How's that?
DB. Okay. Let's DB. Just talk about DB. This is DB. LW talking about to SN over DB, and let's make this work. Well, let's go back because you know you mentioned the book Life Together and Community. And you know, my observation is exactly like yours. If I read a book on community, I can sometimes see Dr. Bonhoeffer's imprint on it, and I read other books, and I wished his imprint was on it.
Mm-hmm.
He had a different view of community than we often read about, don't we, from what is typically thought of community in our day and time.
You're exactly right, and I think he could be a healthy corrective. In some folks who write on community, it's almost as if community is something different from the church, or community is an antidote to the church. To understand Bonhoeffer, his definition of the church, or his name for the church, his designation for the church, was church-community. So the church community, and then he used any number of prepositions: in, by, under, through, of. But it's the church community. In or under or by Christ and the cross. And, you know, actually this was before Bonhoeffer wrote Life Together. His first book, which was his dissertation, his doctoral dissertation, which he got when he was 21 years old, by the way. So, you know, maybe that's one reason, one small reason why we could not like Bonhoeffer, that he's getting his PhD at 21. But his dissertation was entitled Sanctorum Communio, which is Latin from the Apostles' Creed, The Communion of Saints. And in that book, he defines the church as the church community. And so I think it's a healthy corrective. The church should be a community, but the community, that sense that we all want to belong and be a part of something, for us as Christians, is the church.
Well, and let's clarify something before we go much further into this interview. Your book, as I read it, it's about Dr. Bonhoeffer's theology. It's not a biography. It's an analysis of his thought.
Yes, that's correct. And you know, because his thought is so much intertwined with his life, there's certainly biographical pieces that pop up in the book and that the book tries to take. But and partly because Metaxas did such a great job, it's just a wonderful biography. We don't really need to do that. But I think what we do need to do is now go back and look at Bonhoeffer's thought and ask questions. And what I'm trying to do is ask specifically questions about living the Christian life and how Bonhoeffer could be a model for us as we think about living the Christian life.
Well, when Peace Talk comes on, and each time we try to mention it, except when I mentioned it right there, we say Peace Talk, the place to find hope, get help, discover peace. And when I read both Metaxas' book and then some of the other things that he's written, like Life Together or Cost of Discipleship, you see a man who is greatly at peace in the midst of tremendous turmoil. And would you think that really did characterize his life and that his theology was the root of his peace and contentment?
Yes, I couldn't have said it better myself. I think one of his delightful poems that he wrote while he was in prison is a piece called Who Am I? And it's this wonderful poem. It shows what a brilliant writer and clear thinker Bonhoeffer was. But at the end of the poem, he is very self-reflective. He is very much willing to acknowledge that he is mystified by the events surrounding his life, the events of what Hitler has done to Germany and to the Jews. So he's got questions about all that. But in the end, he says, "Whoever I am thine, O Lord." And it's just this resolution of his identity in Christ, his resolution to the sovereignty of God over his life. And I'm so glad you mentioned this idea of peace. You know, and Life Together comes from Bonhoeffer's experiences at the underground seminary at Finkenwalde, which was operated until the Gestapo shut it down. And after it was shut down, Bonhoeffer carried on what he called the collective pastorate in the Pomeranian region. And this was his attempt to keep training these young seminarians for the confessing church in Germany. And they would meet at ski lodges and Pomeranian forests. You know, they'd meet wherever they could. And in one of these gatherings, Bonhoeffer preached a sermon from Romans chapter 5, verse 1, which, of course, is the wonderful statement, "We have peace with God because we have been justified by faith through Christ." And then Bonhoeffer looks at what flows out as a result of that peace. And two of the things Paul says is we rejoice in hope and we rejoice in sufferings. And that was not an academic sermon for Bonhoeffer or for the students. That was a sermon that was very much reflective of their life and of their experiences.
When you talk about him, and what I was struck by in both your book, as you, and I was so happy to read your book because you fleshed out so much about his thinking. I'd read Metaxas' book on his life, the biographical facts of it, and you need to read both together. That's the fascinating part, is knowing the biographical part of it and then adding in your analysis of his thinking really makes it all make sense. But his ability to be content in the middle of the storm that was going on around him, that was, to me, was just absolutely fascinating why he could do that. Now, what was it also in his thinking, though, his theology about God and grace that allowed him that kind of contentment?
This is why I think Bonhoeffer is such a compelling voice for us to listen to. He had such a clear-eyed view of what mattered and what was the priority. And I think if we suffer from anything, we always tend to lose perspective. And this is probably true of Christians in any age, but I think especially for us in the 21st century, we have such a warped perspective of what matters in life. And you begin to look at what are the values of Western culture or the values of American or North American culture. And, you know, it's about comfort, personal comfort. It's about personal happiness. It's about accumulation of wealth and entertainment. And those things aren't really the ultimate things, are they? You know, and along comes a Bonhoeffer who has such a clear-eyed view on what is ultimate. And when he has that view, it gives him a place to stand when there is turmoil in the temporal or when things aren't exactly going as planned. I mean, you look at his life. So he's martyred before he turns 40 years old. He's imprisoned. He is engaged. And just after he is engaged, he's imprisoned. And you take his seminary at Finkenwalde. It started out with 38 students. 3 years later, he's down to 11 students because 18 of them are arrested, right? And the others need to flee. So who would plan, who would sign up for a life like that, you know, to have their life end before their 40th birthday? And yet this was the life God had marked out for Bonhoeffer, and he was just so much at peace with that. And I think it is because he had a sense of what is ultimate and permanent and what is temporal. And that really, that governed him.
You know, I think he also had such a clear-eyed view of where he fit into all of that. Because when you read him, he's opposed, you know, part of what he lost too was his relationship to most of the Lutheran Church in Germany that defected, sold out, full scale to the Nazis. He had to resist that. But he had this calm about his own life and his own importance in all of that.
Yes. You know, it's not just in 1943 when he's arrested. You go back to 1933 when the National Church, the German Lutheran Church, which he was ordained in and which he was licensed to teach at the University of Berlin, they endorsed the Nazi Party and became known as the Reich Kirche. And Bonhoeffer and others, a small group, this is truly David and Goliath here, a small group could not go along with that and formed the Confessing Church. And that proved to be very costly to Bonhoeffer. He's going to lose his license to teach at the University of Berlin. This is one of the most prestigious universities in Europe. He's going to be under the Gestapo ban, which is going to forbid him to write. Of course, he still does. You know, he's not going to be bullied by the Gestapo. But yeah, it was a personal cost. This is long before he's arrested in 1943.
He was such a man of such grace. And we're going to have to leave from right there. The first half is over, Dr. Nichols. We'll get back in just a minute. We'll take a two-minute break. Our guest today is Dr. Stephen Nichols, author of the book Bonhoeffer on the Christian Life. We'll come back and finish this conversation in 2 minutes. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.